Every Monday, and we pick a topic to talk with Kirk, and he's dressed up for the occasion because we're asking the question, what if I was the CEO of Xbox? There's been some consternation, some frustration, some irritation about where the brand is going. You know, we're seeing exclusive cosmetics go to Sea of Thieves on PS5. We're seeing probably more titles go to PS5. Hellblade 2 is at 30 FPS. It's never a great thing to have that much negativity about a brand. So we're like, okay, well, what would we do if we were in charge? We hope this is fun for you guys. Be sure to chime in chat. Be sure to smash the like button as you come over. I'm going to end the previous stream about Gears of War. I was talking Gears 6. Kirk was in there a little bit, you know, and now he's in the hot seat with me.
Gears 6 is one of our great initiatives that we have coming up, and we're really excited about it.
So he's already ready. He's in the mode. He's role-playing right now.
I'm in that mode.
Okay, so we're going to have to set some parameters here, because what I was kind of hoping to do, and I might still do this a little bit because it's my show and I'll do whatever I want, but what I was kind of hoping to do is, like, I'm going to kind of go back and maybe change some of the things they did this gen. Kirk wants to kind of think, like, going forward, he's open to, like, maybe adjusting some of what they've done this
2024
year.
Maybe, yeah, 2024, yeah. Is touchable. You can rewrite 2024.
Okay. So that's our goal here, is like, okay, where does the brand go? What would we do if we were at the helm? And again, I may kind of go back and say some things you guys are probably going to expect from me. And I'm gonna be kind of curious as to where Kirk wants to take things, given just this year alone. So, Kirk, yeah. If you were in charge right now, CEO, you already had some things that you said you would have done differently this year in particular in 2024. You know, what are those things and why? Why would you change some of the stuff that they've said and how they've handled it so far?
So this all revolves around bringing value proposition back to the Xbox brand, okay? Because that's something that's been lost, all right? With stuff like Halo, with stuff like Gears, and with the acquisitions of studios like Activision and the different Bethesda studios that we have with Machine Games, Indiana Jones is coming out, we're really excited about. You know, the value proposition of all of that, despite the vastness of the IP that's under that umbrella and the video game experiences that are under that umbrella, is not inherent. And what's the problem there? It's one competitor by the name of PlayStation, which is just a better alternative place for people to play these games, because as we discussed previously, PlayStation will sign these exclusivity deals with certain companies like Square Enix and others, where a game only ends up on their platform. So people are inclined to go out and buy PlayStation 5 and then build up their library on PlayStation 5 if they haven't already on PlayStation 4. And that's a big problem for us. So with that being said, it's time to rip the Band-Aid off, Lono, okay? The exclusive word needs to mean something. We need to offer value in terms of exclusives. And we did lose the console war against PlayStation, okay? We're not going to be able to compete with PlayStation on that front. People want Indiana Jones on PlayStation. They want Starfield on PlayStation. These are games that we're not going to be able to convince people just by those being on the Xbox platform to buy an Xbox. So we're going to rip the Band-Aid off. We're not going to keep Starfield. We're not going to keep Indiana Jones. Okay, these games are going to go over to PlayStation day and date. Elder Scrolls 6, day and date. We're not in that market anymore. We're going to come out with a handheld sometime in the next 3 to 5 years. All right, we're going to make sure that handheld is vastly outperforming whatever Nintendo's next hardware is, and that it's comparable to the PC adjacent hardware that's out on the market, like the ROG Ally and the Steam Deck and the next iterations of those. We want something that is affordable, ergonomic, but also performs very, very well. And it's the ideal handheld that people want to own. The main focus of that is going to be Xbox software running natively. Okay, we're going to get out of this emphasis on cloud. We tried that. It hasn't really worked. We can double back on that in the future. But we want games that run natively, run well on the handheld. And we're going to prioritize indie experiences. Okay, devs say that their software, their games sell sometimes 3 to 1, 5 to 1, 10 to 1 to Steam and to other platforms. on the Nintendo Switch. Now, why is that? Has Nintendo really been out here championing third-party indies? Are they really out here saying that that's a main focal point of their brand? Sure, they have the directs, okay? And they do include those IP and those games in their directs. But is that a part of their branding, or is it mostly focused on their own IP? I would argue it's the latter. I would argue that Nintendo hasn't really directly collaborated with indies to make that a focal point of their identity and their brand. It has sort of happened de facto that by having a handheld and by having the most wholesome handheld on the market, the most plug-and-play handheld on the market, because Steam Deck and ROG Ally, it's PC architecture, right? It's not just turn the thing on, boot up the game, you're going. That's Switch, baby. That's what the Switch offers. So that's why you see all these indie sales on the Switch. So we're going to come out with a handheld, and we're going to start bringing back
exclusive.
Okay? We're going to make our brand about the indies. Hades 2, you want to play that anywhere else? You can't. We signed a deal with them. It's only on Xbox, and you can play it on handheld. The next version of Cocoon can't play their next game anywhere else. It's exclusive to Xbox. Hollow Knight Silksong, yeah, we signed a deal with them. You can't play it anywhere else. Now, obviously, you're going to be able to play these on PC. We're not taking that away. But as far as you want to play Hollow Knight Silksong on your Nintendo Switch, you want to play it on your PlayStation? Absolutely not. We're going to get down and dirty with the ways of Nintendo, with the ways of PlayStation. We're going to sign those exclusivity deals. Maybe we're even going to buy these little indie companies up and make them our own. Blasphemous 3, that's ours too. Okay? All these little games that are amazing. Dredge, Dusant, Viewfinder, Neon White, Sea of Stars. Okay? That's in the past now, so we can't really do anything about that. But going forward, we already have this association of Game Pass and indies hand in hand. We've done a lot of marketing and branding to create that association. And in many ways, we've propped up indies for the last 3 to 5, maybe even longer period of years, directly cutting them a check to come on to Game Pass, get people in the door, get people playing their games, get them talked about. Venba is a great example of that, cleaned up at the GDC Awards. Why? Because it was on Game Pass and people played it and saw how great it was. Now we're going to create a stronger, more exclusive relationship with all these indies that are out on the market. We're going to talent scout. We're going to find them before they come out, before they blow up, keep them exclusive to our platform, and create a brand around being the home, the exclusive home of indie games.
All right. So I've got some questions about that, though, because this... I'm like, okay, there's a lot of indies. Okay, that's a market that they could corner and have that PlayStation doesn't. PlayStation certainly isn't going to prioritize indies to that degree. I think PlayStation does have indies and some indie focus. So my question for you would be, if this is your plan, if, you know, you're acting like the CEO here, are these indies going on Game Pass? And if so, how do you plan to recoup all the cost of securing these as exclusives if you're putting them on Game Pass, thereby shrinking their potential sales footprint?
So I think we've got to reevaluate internally. What are our sales numbers for games on Game Pass? What are our subscription numbers when we put games on Game Pass day and date? And that has to be a purely business decision. Like, it would be really great if we could say, oh, every game is going to come on Game Pass day and date until the end of time. And that was the messaging that we started with. But unfortunately, there's just business realities to that. So if games going on Game Pass are not selling, you know, we've had metrics in the past that say that they actually sell better sometimes, depending on what type of game it is. And that could be a case-by-case basis thing of, like, if it's an indie, it's going to sell better. Or if it's not an indie, it's going to sell worse, or something to that effect. You've got to actually analyze and evaluate that data and come to a plan of action in terms of, like, do we want to put them on Game Pass day and date because it's going to strengthen our subscriber numbers? And if we create a revolving door of indie games that people are going to play, that subscriber numbers is going to hit, you know, 40 million or whatever we're trying to achieve. Or, you know, are we going to have to pull back on that and say, oh, it's only, you know, it's on Game Pass for 2 months or 1 month even or something, and then it comes off. So it's like there's this period where you can get in day and date, but then after that, you know, you've got to buy it. So we got those sales on the back end. Could be the opposite. Could be that it doesn't come to Game Pass for a period of time, but maybe we want that hype around it with it coming to Game Pass day and date. So we're going to look at all those factors and figure out what the best course of action is there. But yeah, that's going to be purely basically economic and business directed as far as what the path is for that.
So your plan would be to not make day and date on Game Pass like a standard for every single exclusive. It would be case by case. So you would have
Need to have uniformity. I think we have need to have uniformity with if the entirety of the branding is going to be around indies, if it's going to be around Hades 2, the only console to play that on is Xbox, Hollow Knight Silksong, the only console to play that on is Xbox, then we've got to have good messaging, right? That's been a problem for us. You know, up to this point, we've got to have good messaging, solid of exactly what we're going to be doing. And so that has to be data oriented. Like, we have to look at, okay, where's the money at? What can we afford to do? And what should we realistically do? And like, obviously, you and I, you know, breaking the bit for a second, we're not privy to those metrics. We don't know, you know, if the games are selling well on Game Pass, if they're selling abhorrently. Obviously, you've come on this platform and said, Game Pass doesn't work because you're incentivizing people to not buy games. We don't know if the data backs it up. Probably it does. So then from that point, it's like, okay, what does that mean in terms of a plan? That has to be business oriented. Like that, like the branding aspect is about creating hype and about creating identity and value prop. And then what we actually do with those IP has to be around making sure the business thrives. It can't all just be lip service and, oh, whatever's convenient for the consumer. Like, right. Something at the end of the day has to be, this is how it's going to be. So whatever the data says in terms of whether the game should go on Game Pass day and date, whether it should be a little while, or whether it should be a short window that they're there, and then after that you have to buy it. You know, maybe it's that they're on Game Pass, but when they leave, huge marketing push, like, I don't know about you and chat, Lono, but, like, I'll see games, like, I saw an ad for Apex Legends on my Xbox, like UI, like HUD, and I downloaded Apex Legends because I was like, oh, let me check out what's going on Apex Legends. Like, the actual marketing in the actual UI of the console works. I think I ended up getting Skull and Bones on Xbox because Skull and Bones was marketing on my Xbox, and like, so in my mind I was like, oh, that's going to be an Xbox game, just like on a subconscious level. So there's certainly more that we can do to induce the consumer and the user to buy games on Game Pass, especially when they're leaving that Game Pass platform. So now it's like, oh, did you play this or did you miss out? You know, create a little fear of missing out. This is a game that was on Game Pass. Because it was on Game Pass, it got a lot of attention. A lot of people played it. It's leaving now. It's on sale for $5 off or whatever. Get it now before that sale is over. You know, we can push that sort of thing to get more people in the door, make some more money in terms of sales.
Well, I think I've always flipped it around and said that you should use Game Pass to promote purchase. And the way you would do this is, in your track with Indie, I would come along and I would tweak your plan. And I would say, I actually think Indies are a huge market. I think Indies dovetail perfectly with a handheld. And I have always said that what Game Pass should be doing is creating a notion of, it's not about day and date, it's about, you get access to a bunch of perks and privileges that other people don't. So I have always said that Game Pass and ID at Xbox, not ID software, ID at Xbox is their independent move that they did to like help independent developers. I think underneath Game Pass, there should be an entire section for ID at Xbox, and they should foster a culture of game trials. Game Pass should allow you to be trying out these indies, and then if you want them, you buy them. I think what that does is it leads to better consumer satisfaction. It flows right into the idea that Game Pass lets you try games. You're still doing that, but then you're only purchasing the ones that you like. I've also said that Game Pass should give you a discount on the purchase, but also give you early access. I can play the game a week early. So Game Pass is affording you the opportunity to not just try games, but if you buy them, you get a discount and you get to play them early. And what you're essentially doing is saying, this is a subservice that's even good for the people that buy games. Because sometimes people are like, I buy my games, I don't want a subservice. Well, Game Pass would then be appealing to them. It was like, when I'm on Game Pass, it actually makes my purchases better. I get them earlier, I get them cheaper.
Pre-order early access you're talking about?
I think if you pre-order a game and you're a Game Pass subscriber and Microsoft has some kind of a deal with the indie, I think you should be able to play the indie game like a week early. I think like the true release date on Game Pass should be staggered by a week or two. Now, I would approach this very differently than the way that you did. I actually think indies in a handheld make sense on paper. I would be very concerned about low margins. Like you're
and
not.
I do just want to add, we're gonna go minimal. Okay, we're not getting out of hardware, but we're gonna go minimal. So, Series S, that's where we live now. Okay, Series X, no, ain't nobody buying a Series X. All right, so we're gonna go minimal. Remember this? Remember this beauty? See how small this is? Okay.
Oh, I missed that.
We're going minimal. All right, about that size. All right. You know, fits in your entertainment center really easy. Attachable disk drive, you know, goes underneath. Figure out a way to hook that up hardware wise. That's gonna be available as an add-on. So of course you know that the console itself, it's affordable. All right, it's affordable. It's gonna be the Series S of the next generation. So we're not doing anything crazy with performance. But we're looking at a, you know, to account for inflation, maybe a $300. $400 console here. Hopefully it's not $400. Jesus Christ. If the world goes up that much, that's $400, we'd be in a bad spot. But $300 is what the Series S was. Is it going to stay that? I don't know. But we're looking for around $300, $350. Okay, that's what the OLED model is right now for the Switch. And we're going to have full functionality. I don't know if it's going to be Bluetooth. I don't know if it's going to be hardwired, both a docking system. But the handheld is going to go into the small hardware, so that you are going to be able to play your handheld stuff on a television. Do you need the small hardware? Yes, that's why it needs to be. That's why it needs to be affordable, because the smaller hardware, the minimalist hardware, is going to be a gateway for the handheld to go into the television. But all this is going to be native. Like, we're not doing any of this PlayStation Portable, you know, running it off of the thing remotely or anything. All of it's going to be native. Your games run natively on the base hardware. Your games run natively on the handheld hardware. Sure, we're going to keep the cloud options available for people, but, like, people want native games. Like, Resident Evil Village is running on the iPhone now. So we have King. If we can't figure out how to get our games running natively on these two hardwares, you know, with the best performance possible, we got bigger problems. So that's what we're going to do. But I didn't want you to think we were getting out of the hookup to your TV base hardware console entirely. It's just, we're not going to be competing with the PS6. All right. We're basically trying to cut into Nintendo's market share in the West. Okay. We're a Western company. We're not going to be able to touch Nintendo, and we're not going to be able to touch PlayStation for that matter in Japan and in areas outside of the US. Maybe we can compete in Europe. But particularly we want to compete with Nintendo's market share in the West, because Nintendo is known for having abhorrently under-optimized hardware. We're going to offer the hardware to play these games in a better capacity with better performance. You know, games like Celeste, okay, games like Cult of the Lamb, games like Hollow Knight Silksong, you're going to get the best experience and the only experience on Xbox.
Okay. This is what I would do. I mean, obviously, if I could go back in time, I would change everything and maximize
everything.
I'd maximize production of Series X. I would stuff my developers with funding to make curated games for the Series X. I would have ensured the 343 was properly staffed, given the, you know, the prominence of Halo as a flagship title. Like, if I could go back, I'd change all that. I would have really changed their approach this gen. You know, I would have not have let what happened to 343 and Halo happen. But we can't do that. Like, within the confines of what we're doing, if I was in the CEO driver's seat right now, I would be doing everything I can to partner with NVIDIA. And I would be creating the next round of hardware centered around NVIDIA, centered around DLSS, whether it's a handheld, as well as their cloud solutions. I would let them take the helm of hardware if possible, or they could work with another company. I would no longer be putting Microsoft in the position of selling something at a loss, some piece of hardware at a loss. And then I would have all of my studios be making games essentially curated for an NVIDIA environment. That's what I would be doing. I would be saying, okay, can we get these games to run well through NVIDIA's GeForce solution? Can we get these games to run really, really well with DLSS on a handheld? And then you're also going to get really great results for the games on PC. And essentially, what this would allow Xbox to do is establish their games and their footprint of sales around performance again. It would no longer be like, I think your approach with indies is, I get where you're going with it. I think they need to be charting a path away from the, well, we're AMD, but then we got to get the games to run on PC, and we know NVIDIA is doing so well, like, their market share is going to continue to go up. I think that would be a better approach. Now, that obviously complicates things when you're trying to bring things to PlayStation, right? But the rumors we have heard about the Nintendo Switch 2 is that it's going to be leveraging DLSS. So then what you do is, as Xbox, you're no longer worried about competing with PlayStation because you're creating games that are going to run really, really well on your handheld. They're going to run really, really well on the Nintendo Switch. And hopefully they can also then be optimized to run well on PC. I think that would be a better approach for them in general. Now, it doesn't seem that's what they're doing, right? They're going to go the publishing route and try and put games everywhere. But well, I would like, because when you started talking about value proposition, my whole thing is, how can you do value proposition if your games are just hitting so many different platforms? Like, what's going to make the game stand out? I think aligning yourself and partnering with the NVIDIA hardware and DLSS would be a better route to go. And I think Xbox should just not even be concerned about creating their own hardware anymore.
I mean, but they would just outsource it. Like, they would still have Xbox hardware to be.
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah, wouldn't be building it. It's not there. They've got somebody in charge that might even be doing that. They might even be looking at it and saying, we don't need to be making our own hardware anymore. Let's have somebody else do this for us.
So the problem with Xbox still being about high performance is, like, we've already done that. We've already seen that play out. They did that with the One X. It literally was the most powerful console of last gen. And they tried to tell us that the Series X would be the most powerful console of this gen. That's still up for debate, right? But
right.
The problem is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because all the games are on PlayStation. So Xbox Series X can be the most powerful. I can't play the games that I want to play on Xbox Series X. I can play all the games I want to play on my PS5. So it doesn't matter if Xbox has high performance. And there's no way that we have control as Xbox, or we'll be able to leverage control of that situation ever. There's no way that we'll be able to leverage control of the fact that Rise of the Ronin and Final Fantasy Rebirth and Horizon and many, many other games, you can only play them on PlayStation. Spider-Man, you can only play it on PlayStation. We're never going to be able to claw that back, okay? We went to court over it. We lost being able to keep COD exclusive. We lost being able to keep Activision and Blizzard IP exclusive. Making Bethesda IP exclusive, at least through, you know, Starfield as a proof of concept there or as a test there, is not really pulling a lot of weight. It's not bringing people over. It's not really establishing us as a competitor with PlayStation. People don't value the exclusives and the IP that we have as much as what PlayStation produces first party and what they go out and sign third party deals with. So we don't have any control there. That landscape is set, and it's set for the foreseeable future. For the foreseeable future, people like you, Lono, are going to say, well, I don't care about Xbox because all the games that I want are on PlayStation. I don't get all the games that I want on Xbox. So I know which console I'm going to play on. Doesn't matter how good you make the console. You can make it $800. You make it perform better than, you know, you can make it perform twice as good as the other consoles. It doesn't matter. I can't play the games that I want there. So we can't leverage control of that. What I think we can expect is that PlayStation isn't going to get in a indie battle with us. Okay, PlayStation isn't going to fight us to the death if we go out and make Silksong exclusive. PlayStation isn't going to fight us to the death if we put games like Celeste and Neon White and Cocoon and Blasphemous and other games like that exclusive to our platform. I don't see PlayStation really that really mattering to them. And that could be a Jim Ryan era effect, I'm not sure. But like, if Jim Ryan was going to be the CEO of PlayStation for a little longer, you know, 3-5 more years, I could bet pretty confidently that they would just be like, all right, you guys can have that. We don't really care. That's not where our bread is buttered. You know, we are AAA high-performing experiences, narratives, gameplay. Like, that's what we're giving you with the PlayStation. So we're going to give people, you know, the best of gaming, the best of artistic gaming, experiences like Harold Halibut, experiences like The Artful Escape, experiences that are pushing the tech of that type of game, like South of Midnight, you know, coming up on the horizon, stuff like that. That's where we sort of have more control over the landscape. But I don't think that high performance it has no value prop, because the value prop has been hollowed out by PlayStation and their business practices. We're not the controlling party in that climate. PlayStation has all the control as the market share leader to go out and sign the deals to continue to have all the games that people want. We're never going to be able to compete in that space. So we've got to find another space to create value proposition out of. And that's why indies, if you will, I mean, not all these games have to be indies, but they have to be a certain type of game, right? A more artistic focused game, a game that people might want to associate with handheld, or they're not associating with performance being a key factor of their enjoyment of the game. Okay, we're getting out of the Hellblade game. We're getting out of the Gears game. Why? Because people like you are having conversations about, oh, are those games actually going to perform that well on Xbox? Gosh, I really wish they were on my PlayStation. Let's mitigate and suppress those type of conversations by not even, through our own business practices and solutions, wandering into that territory inadvertently and allowing those conversations to happen. Let's be more focused, more intentional about producing a specific type of product, a specific type of experience for the consumer that doesn't directly compete with PlayStation, because we're not going to win there and we're not the party that leverages control in that space.
See, I don't think indies are compelling enough for you to win that war. That's why I think the NVIDIA move would make more sense, because that's future-proofing for where things are going with cloud. That's future-proofing for where things are going with PC and handheld tech, so that the Xbox ecosystem could have strength and could look really impressive in those various avenues. If you want a handheld, if you want to play on mobile, if you want to play on cloud, if you want to play on PC, you're hitting a really, really good size audience. Then you can go to your developers, all your first party studios, and say, this is what we want you to build around. These are the tenants. Because right now, one of the things that keeps coming up in the discussion about Hellblade 2 and Gear 6 is, well, these games, you know, in Unreal 5, they're trying to turn all these great features on, and it doesn't run that well. And my contention has always been, if they were using UE5 for one system, especially for PlayStation, they would figure it out because it's a priority. I know that PlayStation would tell their studios, you need to figure it out. We're not going to ship a game at 30. And if Xbox was able to tell all their first-party studios, this is the ground level that we're targeting with NVIDIA and DLSS, that makes that game extremely elastic. And then the value prop of the game can be all those great things. Really good performance, really great graphics, because you're able, I think, to more sharply develop the game. Instead of right now, it's like they're staring down the barrel of like, well, we got to develop a game for the Series X, the Series S, we got to develop for PC.
But how is that going to bring people, like, how is that going to get people excited about Xbox or bring people into Xbox? Like, people are still going to want to game on PlayStation in much, much higher quantities than they are going to on Xbox. A few outliers like a Hellblade or like a Gears. I mean, we've seen that with stuff like Halo Infinite and Starfield. That's not going to be moving the needle at all.
I'm playing an access point game. Like, if I give people all these access points into the Xbox ecosystem, cloud on their phone, a handheld.
Yeah, but that's just
PC.
What they're doing now.
Right, but I would be
Do
doing
we really
that.
Think that's going to work?
I'd be doing that with an NVIDIA partnership in mind, so that this is the best place to play these games. I would even consider, if I was Xbox at that point, cutting PlayStation out of a lot of these games. I would bring back exclusives. I'd be like, no, this is exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem. Our partnership with NVIDIA has empowered us to give you the best experience by way of GeForce, by way of xCloud, by way of this handheld, and even on PC. And you cut PlayStation out of that. That would be
my
move.
IP and what studios are we looking at doing that with, Lona?
Obviously, you could not use titles like Call of Duty. There's just way too much revenue coming from COD. But I think you could take titles like Gears, and you could totally do this with Gears of War. You could cut PlayStation out and be like, this game is best played on the Xbox ecosystem. You would recapture the idea of Xbox is a place that you play, that this ethereal, like, every screen is an Xbox. I don't even know what that means. Like, if games are landing on PlayStation, then the value proposition is the game good or not. That has nothing to do with Xbox at that point. That's, did this developer do a good job? I would recapture the idea of, this is a place that you come play, and we partnered with NVIDIA to make this possible.
How are you going to recapture that? Like, you're not talking about doing anything. Like, I don't know how, like, you're saying, oh, we're going to make Gears exclusive to Xbox. Yeah, it already is. Nobody cares. Like, how are you going to generate...
No, I'm talking about the new
interest
Gears.
And value prop.
Yeah, the new Gears 6, if it's exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem, so you can only play
Gears
it on...
Yeah, Gears 5 was exclusive. Nobody cared.
Well, how long ago was that, though? That wasn't this gen console mover. That was last gen. I'm talking the new
Yeah, but nobody cares.
They have an awful lot of property they could leverage, and you could only play it on their brand new handheld that they've got coming. I'm kind of talking about gearing up for the next wave, like next
gen.
Do you guys care?
Do you guys care about Indiana Jones or Gears or Halo? The next Halo, like, are you guys excited to buy the next Xbox? Is that going to do it for you? Because I feel like consensus-wise, no. Nobody cares. That's why they can't move units. They can't move Series X hardware. Because nobody cares. They don't have a strategy
that
resonates with people that says...
But here's the thing, though. They didn't even try to move the consoles with Halo. Halo wasn't available at launch. When it landed, multiplayer was in a beta. Like, they did not
have...
Well,
we're talking about COVID now. I mean, that's...
Well, that's not really what happened there. That game was in a shambles in 2019 when they brought Joseph Staten in. That had nothing to do with the sickie and the pandemic. That was them being mishandled as a development studio. And half the staff's on a contract. Like,
that
I would get rid of...
Nope, nah.
I would get rid of all of that. I would empower a team like 343 or the Coalition to not be under this 18-month contract nonsense. I'd be funding them to build an NVIDIA-based games that run at great performance across cloud, the handheld, the PC, and I would cut PlayStation out. That would be my move.
I'm just challenging you to contextualize what you're talking about as something other than they need to do what they've been trying to do, but do it better. Like, I'm talking about a complete reconceptualization and re-strategization of what Xbox's intentions are, what their brand is, and, like, what market they're going to target. And you're like, they're just going to make the games that have always been exclusive, like Halo and Gears, but they're going to make them good now, and we're going to empower our devs to make good games, and that's going to sell. How is that going to do it? That's what they're trying to do now. They're bad at it. Like, how are you going to make them good at doing that?
By partnering with NVIDIA, and you give people a baseline to develop for instead of saying you got to develop for Series X, Series S, and PC. I think they've hurt their development pipeline so significantly. Number one, with the contract policy. When you tell me half of 343 staff was on a contract, I'm like, great, that game's going to be a disaster. And it was. They barely got the thing out the door. People want to rewrite history and act like it was this amazing game. None of that is true. It launched and had a good campaign. That was about it. And it went nowhere as a game. It wasn't a system seller. Wasn't even ready when the Xbox hit. So they went, if you're going to split your hardware, Series S, Series X, you needed to have some type of hardware synergy so your developers can develop a game that runs great in a more versatile way. They didn't do that. That's what an NVIDIA partnership would do. It would enable developers to build a game that's going to look and run great on a handheld, on the cloud, on PCs. And now you're able to cut out PlayStation and say, look at how great Gears 6 looks. Look at the future of what we've been able to do. And you got to come over here to play it. I think that's the only move. I don't think indies is the move. Like, obviously, their move into publishing is being driven by upper management and the C-suite at Microsoft, because they're like, that's where the money is. We want money. We don't care right. about having an ecosystem anymore. And that's a huge gifted member from MASH. Oh my gosh, that's a 20 bomb. I got to shout that out. MASH, you're crazy.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and interact with what I just said, though. You, go ahead. Interact with what I just said. The idea that this would be, I don't think indies is the way. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to generate enough capital and enough consumer movement with indies. I think you got to use IP. You got to use your biggest IP. Like a mind-blowing next-gen Halo.
We don't care about that on our platform, though, because we've already seen over the last decade that it's not bringing people to our platform. So in terms of what are you getting as an exclusive benefit on our platform, that is Celeste. That is Cocoon. That is Cult of the Lamb. That's Door. Neon White. Tunic. Okay? All of those type of games going forward. Sea of Stars. Hades 2. All of that stuff. It's only on Xbox and PC for the foreseeable future. If we're talking about COD, if we're talking about Indiana Jones, we're talking about Blade, we're talking about Gears, okay, maybe even Halo. That's everywhere, baby. We're a publisher, all right? You can play that on PlayStation. You can play that on PC. You can play it on Xbox. Every scream is an Xbox, baby. Okay. The handheld market, we're targeting that. All right. That's ours. If it doesn't have Mario in it, it's ours, baby. Okay. It's exclusive.
Okay. Well, chat's engaging with that. Like, you asked chat how much do they care about Gears and Halo. Well, chat's telling you how much they care about, you know, a game like Hades 2, one of the more anticipated indies. And Zubair's like, I'm a huge Hades fan. I wouldn't buy an Xbox to play it. And then, you know, Eugene chimes in and says, Hades sold, what, 2 million? Hollow Knight sells 3 million. Those aren't moving people. Like, they're essentially telling you these titles are not magnetic enough to shift the consumer footprint.
I mean, they say that, but then when you can't play Hades 2, you're telling me you're not going to go out and buy a, you know, $250 to $300 console to play it? Tell me you're not going to do that? You're just not going to play all those games. Silksong, you're just not going to play it.
Hades so you're trying 2, just you're not trying to keep that you're also trying to keep the price point of the hardware down in your plan. You want to keep it down.
Performance not an issue. Why? Because Hades 2 isn't very taxing. Like all these games, they all have something in common, right? We're not pushing cutting edge tech. Okay, so you need this or you need the handheld. If you don't have either of those and you don't have a PC, you know, if you're not getting it through Steam, if you're a console player only, if you only buy Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox, guess what? You don't have Silksong. You don't have Silksong, you don't have Hades 2, you don't have the next Cocoon, you don't have the next Blasphemous, you don't have the next Dredge, you don't have the next Dave the Diver. You don't have any of those. Those are ours. Now, you want Indiana Jones? Sure, you can have that on PlayStation. Absolutely. We would love to make tons and tons of money from people buying Indiana Jones on PlayStation. Sure, you can have Marvel Blade. Sure, you can have Elder Scrolls 6. Absolutely, we'll put that on PlayStation. We love PlayStation gamers. But you want to play indies? You want to play indie-style games? You want to play artful, artistic takes on games? That frontier of gaming? That lives on Xbox. That lives on Xbox hardware. And if you don't want to engage with that, if you don't want those type of games, we're happy to sell you Call of Duty on PlayStation and make billions of dollars from that over the course of the next few years. But if you want to play Hades 2 and Silksong and all those games, that's on Xbox hardware.
I just refuse to believe that if they went head down, changed some of their policies with contracts, and they came out with an absolutely mind-blowing Halo, a mind-blowing Gears. Listen to some of the property that they own. They own Doom. They own Fallout. They own Skyrim. They own all the stuff under Activision Blizzard. And I refuse to believe that if they went nose down right now, heavily invested into all that property, partnered with NVIDIA, build these games to be future-proof for, they're going to run great on a handheld with DLSS, they're going to run great on the cloud, they're going to run great on Steam, and you cut PlayStation out, I have to believe that would move people. If the only place you could play Fallout 5 or the next Elder Scrolls or the next Doom or the next Halo or the next Gears, and they literally brought the level of quality that we see in PlayStation first-party games, well, I'm talking Horizon Forbidden West, I'm talking top-shelf first-party games, that would 100% move the needle. People would go over and say, I have those games.
I agree. We haven't been able to do it in a decade. What would change now?
A complete overhaul of principles for development, contract policies, quality, giving developers a better environment to make their games, not some Series S, Series X, two-tier nonsense.
It's easy to say that is attainable for Xbox, but we have a long precedent of it not being attainable. So I'm going to rely on that in terms of realistic expectations of the next five-year window. Xbox can't do it. So we need to focus on what we can do and do it well. And so you're talking about a magical land where Xbox does everything right and they can actually compete with PlayStation. I'm talking about looking back on the last 10 years, realizing that Xbox, everything that they do is a massive F up and that they can't compete with PlayStation. So let's find a market that we can compete in and then otherwise be a third party publisher that can put games on PC, on our own hardware, and on PlayStation and reap the benefits of that. Just like with Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush wouldn't be going to PlayStation in this model, by the way. It would stay exclusive because that's the type of game that and Pentiment, you know, those type of games, we're not putting those on PlayStation. Okay, those are ours. But stuff like Indiana Jones and Call of Duty and, you know, the next Diablo, you know, whatever Blizzard is going to make next, you know, that type of stuff, absolutely. Make a bunch of money off of that, being a publisher. That's why we made those acquisitions. Like, we can't make Call of Duty and other Activision properties exclusive anyway. We're bound by court proceedings to not do that, or the FTC is going to get involved.
Well, you're bound by revenue. You're bound by revenue. Like, I think you take the revenue coming in from Minecraft and Call of Duty, and you literally fund what I'm talking about. You've got cash cows that you put everywhere. Call of Duty, Diablo,
so money was
Minecraft.
The problem for the last decade? Money was the problem? That's why they couldn't make blockbuster games that would move units?
No, I think you can fund.
Microsoft,
I think you can fund my plan if you can fund my plan. If you say, "Listen, we're going to get rid of the contract policy. We're going to beef up staff. We're going to beef up the actual. We're going to partner with NVIDIA so that we actually have a synergistic relationship with hardware." That's what PlayStation Studios and their engine have. They have a synergistic relationship with the hardware, the Insomniac engine, the Decima engine. The games they make run the way that they do because of that synergistic relationship. I want to create an environment where Xbox and their developers, they have so much property, they have so many studios, give them a synergistic relationship with the hardware and future-proof your game so that when they're not on PlayStation, you're not going to say, well, they don't perform that well, or well, they don't look that good. It's like, no, they would be they would be amazing versions of the games because the developers would be more equipped to tap into more power, more tech, especially with how DLSS continues to improve. Thank you for the five, Stone Spire. Go ahead.
Yeah, but if Starfield is 60 FPS 4K, it's what, you know, what was promised, and it's never coming to PlayStation, is that moving anybody over to Xbox? Like, I don't think it is. I think people are just going to, you know, what do they say online, port bag? They're just going to port bag, or they're going to disparage it or whatever. Like, that's why you see so many people coming out of the woodwork that are PlayStation gamers first that are like, "Oh, we're going to get all your games." Cuz they ain't playing them. They ain't been playing them, Lono. They don't have an Xbox. They're more than content to not have an Xbox. They don't care about Gears and Halo and Starfield being locked away on the other console. They're just not going to play those games.
But
you know,
it's
and you
been...
can say, you could argue that the same is true for Hades. Eugene says in the chat, you know, Hades 2 is great and all, and I really want to play it, but you're talking about a percentage of the market, of gaming market, that's 5%. I would argue it's more than 5%. I think that's too low. I don't know what it is. It's probably a ceiling of about 20% as far as the indie market for what the market of games it is, what percentage it is, somewhere between 5 and 20. But we know we're not competing in the AAA market. Like, we know that people don't care, and that people are just like, well, if it's not coming to PS5, I guess I just don't get to play it. I mean, that's kind of what Xbox people have to say about Rise of Ronin and Final Fantasy. It's like, oh, I guess I just don't get to play it. I mean, like, not everybody has the ability to just have all the consoles. And if they do, you know, what's going to justify having an Xbox console? So the important thing there is we get into an ergonomic niche. Like, if we're in the niche where we got to invest a bunch of money into NVIDIA to even compete, to even justify the games performing well on our console so that people might want to come over, you know, Hellblade and Starfield and Gears, people might want to come over for those. PlayStation's got Spider-Man. PlayStation's got God of War. You know, like, PlayStation has the IP. PlayStation has the draw over Xbox. A million times over. I mean, Halo is basically all Xbox has. We've run that into the ground for some reason. I don't know why we did that. We don't have the draw anymore. So we got to create that draw again. And if that's only a small percentage of the market of games that are available to people, that's fine, because we need a percentage. Like, we need to quarter off a percentage and say, that's ours, we own that, and establish that domain there, because we don't have it with the rest of the market. Like, we are losing when it comes to the rest of the market. We are losing when it comes to those AAA high performance, high fidelity experiences, because people are just like, well, it can either come to my PlayStation or I don't care. And I feel like that's not going to change. That's why Xbox is moving into third party publishing, is because they realize we stand to make a lot more money putting this out on platforms where people actually want to play these type of games, PlayStation primarily, than we do to try to bring people into our own hardware. That has not worked. So what you're talking about is doubling down on what I would perceive or consider as a failed strategy. I don't think that's the way to go. I do think that quartering off a smaller market that's focused around an area of affordability. I mean, just look at what Nintendo's been able to do. Their hardware sucks, and people buy it. People buy it in droves. to play these not as taxing, not as performance-inducive games because they want to, And so if we could quarter off some of that market in the West and focus on putting all those games on mobile as well, natively, through our ownership of King, I think that's where we could actually cut out a space with the market share rather than failing to compete in other areas.
Well, and that's where I don't think I'm doubling down on a strategy that's failed. I'm fixing the strategy where it failed. It would be like saying, well, you keep running and you keep falling. And I'm like, well, hang on. If my shoes aren't tied together, I could actually run
better.
Roller
skates.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to remove what I feel were fatal flaws to the strategy. Why does it work for Nintendo and why does it work for PlayStation? Why? Because they focus on creating exceptional first party content. Now, also, PlayStation still deals in third party exclusives. I believe we can't re-knit this sweater, but Xbox abandoned third party exclusives when they needed them the most. And that really hurt them. That really hurt them with Call of Duty. Especially, and that's where I'm like, I'm not saying double down on the strategy, it's failed. I'm saying you guys haven't been doing it right. Like how many creative directors do we need to lose before we realize Xbox is not fostering an environment where creative work can happen, right? Ninja Theory lost its chief executive creative director, whatever his title was. And it's like, that's like, I don't even know what the number is now on directors and creative directors who have left under Xbox ownership, because it has nothing to do with Phil Spencer. It has nothing to do with Xbox as a brand. It's Microsoft. Microsoft is acidic to creative process. Like, the sooner Xbox fans realize this, the sooner they're going to realize, like, what my plan is attempting to get at. I'm trying to root out the poison that kills creative process and kills the developer's ability to bring a killer app to the market. You better believe, in my utopian view here, an absolutely banger of a new Doom, a new Gears, a new Halo, a new Skyrim. If they come out absolutely top shelf banger quality and you can't get them on PlayStation, that's a power move, especially if it's available on a handheld hybrid, if it's available on PC, it's available on cloud.
It's not going to happen.
That's a lot of entrance points. You're not asking me to come buy a new console. I could play it on the cloud.
It's not going to perform well on the handheld.
Why?
If we
Why
have
not?
A handheld, it's not going to perform. Gears 6, in all its glory that you're talking about, you're going to make a masterpiece, right? It's going to perform amazing. It's going to look amazing. Yeah, we're not getting that to run well on a handheld. Not if the handheld's going to be affordable. All right, we're talking about doubling that price, maybe even tripling it. If that handheld is $300, you just made it $900 because you're talking about Gears 6, whatever metrics you want it to perform at, 4K, 60, whatever it is. That's not an affordable handheld anymore if we're going to get that running natively on that hardware. Like, we're talking common sense here. Like,
no,
we're talking
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA is not going to fix all of our problems.
Just I didn't say they're going to fix all our problems, but if you're building games from the ground
up,
they
sure as hell need to, because we got a lot of problems. No, that's not going to happen. We're not going to have Gear 6 blow up and everybody's like, oh, I got to go out and buy an Xbox. But do you remember a little game called Vampire Survivors? When that blew up last year and everybody couldn't stop playing it for like a month, 2 months straight, mm-hmm. Okay? And that was available on PC and that was available on other platforms as well. Imagine if that had been an Xbox game and that had only been an Xbox game and that blew up and everybody couldn't get enough Vampire. Oh, I'm addicted. I can't stop playing it. It's on Xbox. It's not on PlayStation. Not on Nintendo. It's on Xbox. Balatro blows up. Yeah, that's not on PlayStation. That's not on Nintendo. It's on Xbox. Can't stop playing Balatro. We get those moments. That brings people over. That gets people talking on Twitter. Gear 6, we're not gonna be able to achieve that. We're not gonna be able to achieve that and make affordable hardware that people want to buy in addition to their PS5. Because that's a done deal. People are buying a PS5 and a PS6. That's already happening. That's in the budget. But take it to the bank. I got $500, $600 saved up right now. Everybody. He's got that saved up for when that PS6 comes out. Or they put it on layaway. Doesn't matter. Put it on the credit card. That's happening. All right? We're not pulling people off of that. So we need to give them something ancillary. Why do people own a PlayStation 5 and a Switch? Because a Switch is $300. You can go out and buy a PlayStation 5 for $500. You can still afford a Switch. You can't afford an Xbox 2. Not unless you're a means. And then it's like, well, what do I buy an Xbox for? For Gears and Halo? How's that working out? It's not working out. But if you have a game blow up like a Sea of Stars or Vampire Survivors, or a Balatro, one of those games. And people are like, oh, well, oh, everybody's talking Vampire Survivors. Everybody's playing. Everybody's addicted. Where do I buy it? Can I buy it on Switch? Can I buy it on? Well, you can buy it on PC. You can buy it on Xbox. And if you want to play it in handheld, you'd have a Steam Deck. That's about a $600, $500 machine, right? Or you can have Xbox handheld, $300. It's affordable.
I mean, I certainly know that the plan they're going with is probably the only plan that will work. A lot of what I'm saying is wishful thinking, like the idea that they would come to market with a compelling hardware offer and games that have a synergy with the hardware. That's what I'm going for, right? I'm not this super well-researched tech head. In my mind, if you create a hardware synergy with your developers and they develop games within that, you get better games. And when you leverage really big, memorable, monolithic IP, I think they could turn the tide. I think they could change things. They don't believe that. Plenty of people in chat don't believe that. That would be my vision. That would be my hope of what they could do, because the alternative is they turn into this weird quasi-platform publisher where they're not even making their own hardware anymore and the games are just everywhere. And I'm like, okay, well, hopefully your devs are empowered to make a really great optimized game that has to be built for a handheld, a Series S, a Series X, cloud, PC, and the PlayStation 5, and maybe even the Nintendo Switch 2. That's such a broad palette of hardware to develop for. I'm like, dude, I don't even know. Those games are going to either take forever to come to market or they're going to be really poorly optimized.
David Lilly in chat says, Lono, you keep mentioning Xbox and needing to partner with NVIDIA. Why would NVIDIA want to do that? Are they just going to throw a boatload of money at them? Or how are they going to get NVIDIA to overhaul their entire game plan?
NVIDIA has a cloud platform and a cloud service that they would like to grow. And so there's mutual beneficiaries here. I mean, you both benefit from the fact of, like, if you're creating games and you're using NVIDIA chips to make the hardware, NVIDIA wins on multiple fronts there. I don't think there's... Now, again, people are like, well, NVIDIA moved away. And it's like, well, yeah, but you make a compelling offer to them, because if you're actually trying to create a 10-year plan of, we want to start building games now that are future-proof for cloud, that are future-proof for... you know, the need of a game to have more elasticity. This is a new problem developers are going to have to figure out. Like, historically speaking, developing for multiplat is not the game that it once was. Like, how are you going to make a game that can run on all these various different platforms and not run like garbage? Like, it's going to take so long. The complexity of these games, the size of the budgets, the size of the teams have gotten to such a point. It's like, and now you want to add in the compounding effect of, like, well, you better make your game for four or five different platforms.
We're guys entering... in chat saying Vampire Survivors was on iOS. Vampire Survivors all-time peak on Steam was 77,000. And Eugene saying you can't bank on an ecosystem appealing to a niche of a niche of a niche. Guys, you're not understanding. That's not the point. Okay, what I'm saying is that Xbox has the means now, as a third-party publisher, which is the direction that they're going, to make a ton of money by just putting games out for, sure, their own hardware. That's great and all, but where are they going to make the lion's share of the money? On other platforms, primarily PlayStation, in the console market. So they're already making money. Like, that's why they're pivoting in that direction anyway, is that to stay afloat as a brand, as a company, okay, they're going to be putting out a lot of products and IP and games for other platforms, which will make them a lot of money. Like, the company's not in danger. Now, the Xbox brand and how people associate with that and what that means and what it means to game on Xbox, that's in serious danger. So the money is not a concern. Like, I'm not banking on putting all this emphasis around indie and, like, that's where the money is coming from. That's not where the money is coming from. The money is coming from our blockbuster games like Gears and like Indiana Jones that will do well on PlayStation and on PC. And will also sell on Xbox, sure, but, like, that's not where the money is coming from. And then the brand emphasis, yes, I get it. Vampire Survivors blew up on iOS. And it only, I mean, I think that's peak concurrence, Eugene, 77,000. I'm not really concerned with that. I'm concerned about all time. So I don't know what that number is. But that's one game. I'm talking about the swath of
the entire library of indie games. I mean, I keep listening off. Cocoon, Neon White, Vimba, Blasphemous, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Hades 2, Hollow Knight Silksong. Like, all this whole library of games. And you know these games blow up. Like, Vampire Survivors and Balatro are just examples that I can think of off the top of my head of games that blew up. Hades 2 and Silksong are bigger than that, right? Like, there's hype about those games before they even come out. But, you know, if Xbox can have those games that are hype before they come out because they had a prequel that was really successful or people really liked, it was very popular, and also they can get behind these developers to kind of try to catch this lightning in a bottle to support the next Vampire Survivors or support the next game that is going to blow up. Everybody's going to be playing that week or that month. The next POW World, okay? POW World did wonders for the Xbox brand. People actually, for almost a month of time, people actually thought about Xbox in a positive light. People actually thought about Xbox the way that people look at Helldivers and PlayStation and how that's so great for PlayStation that they have the exclusive of Helldivers on their platform. There was a small period, a small window of time. Remember, Lono, the good old days for our wonderful Xbox? Where people are like, oh, POW World, it's only on Xbox, it's not on PlayStation. POW World is blowing up, it's doing so great. We need those type of moments. And yes, is that a niche of a niche? Absolutely it is, but we're making money already. And we're going to continue to make money through third-party publishing. The importance is what moves people to go out and buy an Xbox. And if that's a 10% of the market, fine. If that's 20% of the market, fine. But if we own them and they're coming and buying the handheld, they're coming and buying our console generation after generation because they know what our brand is and that's what they want. They want to be able to experience those games, probably in addition to PlayStation, probably in addition to a PC. But they want that experience of what we're offering, what our brand is. We've got those people. We've got justification and a lifeblood for our hardware that we're currently missing. Nobody has any reason to go out and buy an Xbox. Nobody does. Because there's a branding issue there. It's not about the money. We're going to make the money. Call of Duty is going to make us so much money. Like, do you understand how much money Call of Duty is going to make us? Okay? That's not the problem. We have to create messaging and a brand and a lifeblood around Xbox and what that console represents. And that's gone. We haven't had that since the 360. It's gone. It has to be restored. And it's not going to be restored through just saying, we're going to do better this time and Forza and Gears and Halo are all going to be great. They tried that. They've lied to us and misled us for 10, going on 15 years. That ship has sailed. It's time to corner off a smaller section of market and deliver on that in the capacity that we know we can, instead of betting big, going up against PlayStation in the ring, and getting knocked the F out.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with your plan is I don't think indies draw enough competing against, like, in your version, in your plan. We're obviously, this is just fun, guys. Like, we're hypothetically acting like if we were the CEO, what we would do. I think your plan's fatal flaw
it's my new job. And
This is new job. Tomorrow, he's been hired. Yeah. I think the fatal flaw in your plan is you're trying to win people to your ecosystem with indies while you've got big titles like a brand new Doom and a brand new Elder Scrolls and a brand new Fallout, and those are hitting PlayStation. So, like, those are giant, monolithic, like, every other game is sort of, like, in their shadow whenever they come out. And I don't think indies are nearly as compelling as, like, a big IP. I don't think
they are. We control the release schedule. We control when Call of Duty comes out. We control when Gears and Halo come out. We control when the next Bethesda IP game comes out. We control all that. You think we're going to put Elder Scrolls 6 up against the next Cocoon? The next You think we're going to do that?
I don't think they have the marketing reach. I think when you're on a PlayStation and you're getting the latest Doom and the latest Skyrim, in between those, like in droughts or whatever, whenever you plan on releasing these, I don't think I'm going to be like, "You know what? I got everything over here I want except for these indies."
It's not the same people. We're talking about cutting the Nintendo's market share. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So you have balls the size of a mountain if you want to take on Nintendo. Like,
not in the area. I mean, people are gonna people are going to play their Mario. I mean, that's not something we're looking at. We're talking about that by default, because Nintendo has the most affordable hardware and has handheld hardware, because the smaller screen and the vibe of that is convenient for wholesome or artistic indie type of games, you know, 2D artful looking games. They look good on the screen. They look good on the OLED. People want to play, like, I want to play Balatro on my Switch, or people that have a Steam Deck, they want to play those games on their Steam Deck. Like, you can already see the Steam Deck as a competing alternative to Nintendo, where people want to buy indies because the Steam Deck is better hardware. So, like, that's a proof of concept that people, if they have better hardware, more optimized hardware, they start looking at that as, oh, well, that's the place where I'll buy the non-first-party Nintendo stuff to play that there. You know, people are buying Balatro on their Steam Deck, not their Switch, if they have a Steam Deck.
Right.
So there's already a proof of concept for cutting into that market. So I don't know why we wouldn't be able to do that if we... Like, we talked about this before, Lona, with the PlayStation marketing push. Like, PlayStation got out there and went to bat for Pacific Drive and No Man's Sky. Like, they get behind their exclusive indies. Like, they put those games on the map. People know that those games are available on that platform. They put them in the showcases, okay? None of this weak sauce, whatever this was a month ago, where it was like, oh, our partner showcase, and here's 15 games that nobody cares about. We're not even going to make it exciting. No, we're going to bring the heat. Get people in as far as... Why do I care about Xbox? It's because you're getting these type of experiences. And there's certain people that want to participate and invest in that market and in that type of product.
I think you're going to have an incredibly hard time convincing indie titles to not make their game for Nintendo Switch, too. Like,
I mean,
that
money. It's that COD money.
I'm telling you, that COD money, you're going to run out of that money, because they know they can make a ton of money on Nintendo. Like, that's just such a great dovetail. As you've said, a lot of these indies will land on PC Nintendo. And with what we've heard about the Nintendo Switch 2 and leveraging DLSS and the performance that thing is going to be able to get, I cannot see indie devs being compelled to come over, especially knowing the culture of Xbox, what's been fostered with Game Pass. If I was an indie studio, I'd tell you to take your money and shove it. I'm like, I'm going to go to Nintendo.
That's why there has to be a drastic culture change. And they've got to see that support in a tangible way. They've got to see it in marketing. They've got to see it in pushing it through the UI. They've got to see it in branding, in messaging. All that has to tighten up. And you know, you could argue that is just like me saying, oh, on the software side, you know, oh, just saying these games are going to be great now is, you know, unrealistic. You could say that Xbox marketing better is unrealistic, and I wouldn't really have a rebuttal to that. But, like, if I'm the CEO, you know, I'm going to make sure that our marketing is on point and that we are, you know, coming to the table with these indie devs. You know, they don't have to be literally indie. We're talking about a certain type of game, right? It doesn't have to be an independent studio. We're talking about a type of game, a type of genre, almost. You know, this could even be Ubisoft Prince of Persia. We go to Ubisoft and say, we want your game, specifically the Prince of Persia game, to be exclusive to our platform, and we could give them money for that. We've got to convince these devs through the marketing and through the way that we're going to approach supporting and pushing their product that this is a good decision for them. And sure, it's a gamble. Like, I think you've sort of narrowed in on the biggest gamble for my plan. Like, the biggest gamble for your plan is NVIDIA going to be able to actually overhaul Xbox enough that they output good games, I guess, and they have hardware that runs them well enough to make people pay attention to Xbox again and believe in Xbox again and see it as a worthy competitor or alternative to PlayStation. I think that's a big gamble. I think that's a bigger gamble than what I'm talking about of... put money into these type of games, because yes, pulling them off of Nintendo is inherently bad for the games, for the devs. Like, that's not in their interest, unless we can convert this sort of mind share into, this is where they live. They live on Xbox. They live on Xbox hardware. You know, that's where you're going to be able to play these type of games. And so we're going to have to put money down on the table. Okay, and gamble on that. But when over the course of a year, you don't see these games, you don't see these critically acclaimed successes and these blow up, you know, moments on Twitter and YouTube and TikTok and everywhere else, when all those games are not on the Switch because we spent all that COD money, people are going to start playing them on our platform. And when people start playing them on our platform, you know, either our Game Pass subs go up, in theory, or we're not going the Game Pass route and we start making more sales. And we start making more sales, devs start making more money, and then we have to give them less money to bring them over to our platform for exclusivity purposes, and we start moving that ball. We start moving that ball, moving where we need to go as far as making that more appealing because we're creating a new culture and a new brand. Now, if that doesn't work, it doesn't work, but, like, that's the plan. You know, I mean, if we bet all that money and then nobody buys an Xbox and everybody's like, I didn't care about Hades, I didn't care about Silksong. I just don't believe that. Like, I think if you have a Switch right now, and this needs to happen, like, in tandem with the Switch 2 coming out, whenever that is. Like, we need to be no more than a year behind them. Like, if the Switch 2 comes out in 2025, this handheld needs to be ready in 2026. You know, something like that. So that it's like, hey, don't buy the new Nintendo. You know, unless you're a huge fan of Mario and a huge fan of Zelda, we already lost you. You know, you're not, it's not working. But if you just want a place to play these type of games, like, I own a Nintendo, not primarily for Zelda, not primarily for Mario at this point. Like, that's what I thought I bought it for, but I actually bought it to play Balatro and Grease and Cocoon and Blasphemous. Like, that's what I actually play on my Switch. I don't actually play Yoshi's Crafted World and Princess Peach. That's not what I'm playing on my Switch. I'm playing these critically acclaimed indie games that I pick up on sale, and I buy... Oh, no, I buy way too many of them. I mean, I don't now because times are tougher and inflation and stuff. But, like, in the past 2-3 years, like, I bought so many indie games on my Switch because they go on sale for, like, 15, 20 bucks. I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's, like, one of the best games of the year. I got to pick it up. And so if those games, we pull all those games off that store and we market them and they're on Xbox, they're on the Xbox handheld, and we have good marketing, like, I don't think that's too much to say, like, it, you know, as far as, you know, projecting in the future, like, if we could just make our marketing good. Like, I don't think that's unrealistic. Like, we could do good marketing. Like, Xbox right. could do good brand messaging and marketing. It's possible, but, I swear.
But you know, the other problem with what you're saying is if you look at the first-party sales of Nintendo property, you can clearly tell that the average person's buying a Nintendo Switch for one, some, or a vast majority of those first-party games, whether it's Mario Kart, Zelda, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, like, their attach rates, their sales are incredible. So that's yeah. one of the driving forces that get people into the Switch, and then they buy the indies. I think
I'm not
you're,
really saying
you're
cutting into the hardware market. I guess what I'm trying to say is when people see our hardware and what you can get for $300 and Nintendo's hardware and what you can get for $300, I don't think it's unrealistic to say that you could do a one-to-one comparison and Xbox is going to be better. Like, but what, money to money.
What's your draw? The primary draw for the Nintendo Switch with most consumers is clearly the first-party exclusives, and you're talking
right.
about, no, we don't need those first-party exclusives.
We're talking about third-party exclusives.
Yeah, you're talking about third-party indies, and I'm saying you're flipping the world upside down. I'm like, no, you need to use the big property like Doom and Elder Scrolls and Fallout and Halo and Gears. You need to use those to get
Again,
people
nobody
in.
Nobody cares. They'll just wait for it on
PlayStation. They don't care about those. Why do you think they care about these indies? For goodness sakes. They're smaller. They're lesser known.
They may not, but the difference there is we are investing in more ergonomic hardware. Like, the hardware to... See, that's the problem with Xbox.
I'm giving you the job. You're so good at this. You're just throwing out PO ergonomic. Like, come on. You're already ready for this BS. You're so ready.
Hardware for high-performance Gears and high-performance Halo and high-performance Indiana Jones and high-performance Hellblade that isn't at dookie 30 FPS is so much higher in terms of, like, obviously a $500 console could not do it. Like, what we could get out the door for $500 that people can get in their hands in their household for $500 could not do Hellblade at the fidelity that Ninja Theory wants at 60 FPS. It's not possible. So what can we make hardware for that's exclusive? To me, that is the next Hades, the next Silksong. And, like, if that doesn't... Like, the affordability is also what can move units. Like, if you're telling me, oh, I've got to buy an Xbox to play Hellblade, and it's not even optimized because we can't make our hardware cost $700 for it to be optimized and actually run at 4K 60 like we promised. Nobody's coming over for that. Nobody is paying $500 to play Dookie Hellblade at 30 FPS instead of on PC. We know that. We're living in that reality. We are present in the society of today, in the reality of today. That is the landscape. Nobody cares about that. If we make the console $700, now it's not affordable. It's great. It's native 4K 60. Fantastic. Hellblade's native 4K 60. Will you buy our $700 console to play it since you only have a PS5? Heck
yes.
No.
Yes.
Play Spider-Man.
Yes, they would. Did you hear what you just said?
No.
So native. Listen to what you just said. You're insane. Native 4K 60 Hellblade 2 for $700. You don't think that there's
nobody
a market for that?
Nobody? Nobody would buy an Xbox for that. Are you kidding me? Chat, back me up. Who is buying an Xbox for $700 just to play Hellblade 2 in 4K 60? They're going to go play Spider-Man in New Game Plus. Are you kidding me, Lono?
If that was the standard, if you had hardware in the market and that was the standard, people would 100% pay for that. It's a luxury market. People would pay for the best. People would pay for the best. They pay for the best every day. They buy the best cars. They buy the best TVs. They buy a brand new telephone. They pay for the best. They pay for the fastest.
$300 for Silksong?
And the strongest.
At Chris 60? Or hell, maybe we even get it on 120 on the handheld. Maybe we can even do that for $300. We can get Silksong running at 120. It's not graphically pushing any type of envelope or anything. Maybe we've got 120. Ori runs fantastic on Xbox. We imagine that on handheld. Oh my God, OLED Ori at 80 FPS or what? You know, whatever the hell it needs to be. 120. It's on 120 on Xbox hardware right now. Tell me next gen we can't get that on a handheld. Ori OLED 120 FPS handheld $300. You telling me that's not going to move units? Oh, but people are going to spend $700 to play Hellblade 2 in native 4K, 60 FPS. Okay.
People are gonna buy a $600 PS5 Pro for increased performance. I think that there's
a
market.
It's a PlayStation.
There's a market.
It's a PlayStation.
There's
that's
a
why
market.
People are going to buy it.
There's a market for the strongest and the best. I think if you actually brought that level of performance from Hellblade, the new Gears, a new Halo, a new Fallout, a new Skyrim, like if they capitalize on that property at that level of performance, oh, I believe people would buy it. Yes, they would. 100%. If they can hit that level of performance, there's a market for it. It's a luxury market. The average person paying into this market, their home is bringing in six figures. Like I think this idea of like, what's the hook though? I mean, you're putting indie on a handheld, like why
those
am I buying
sure
that
as
handheld?
Hell got $300 to play Silksong. I know that. That's a guarantee.
I think no.
That's
see, that's the harder that sell. Money. No, my sell's easier. I know if I sell something that's the strongest, the fastest, the best, there's a market where people will pay top dollar for that. You're trying to get somebody to pay $300. You're trying to get somebody to pay $300 to play indie games. I think that's a harder sell. That's a much
right.
harder
there,
sell.
There is a market for people for that. It's a $1,200 or more PC. Why would they get an Xbox for that? Why would they get a $700, $800 Xbox to play Hellblade on their TV at 4K 60 when they can just go out and buy a PC at that point?
Because
if they're standing
in Best Buy and they're looking at gaming rigs that are $1,500 and up, if you want a gaming rig that's going to do 4K 60 with Hellblade, you're spending $2,000 easy. You're not breaking a sweat. 4K 60 is not even common on PC right now. Like I'm talking, you're imagining some crazy tech that's going to run that game at 4K 60. That's what we're getting promised from the PS5 Pro with the upscaling. We're getting promised 4K 60. I'm telling you, they're standing in Best Buy. They're looking at a $700 box, and they're looking at $1,500 to $2,000 for a PC. That's an easy decision. Easy. It's half the price.
How is that going to be possible then? If PC to perform at that output costs double, how is Xbox going to make a console that costs half that can perform at that output?
You said it, homie. You said it, not me.
But I'm just saying. I'm talking about being realistic in terms of the disparity. Like, whatever the tech has achieved, it's not going to be half the cost to make that into an Xbox form. Like, Xbox is a $700 Xbox is only going to be able to do what a $700 Xbox is going to be able to do. So if that's checkerboard rendering, 4K, 60, like, whatever that is for $700, like, that's what it is. Like, I'm not making up tech that doesn't exist. If you're telling me, oh, well, to get that on PC, it would be $1,500. Okay, well, then it sure as hell isn't going to be that output for a $700 Xbox. Like, if that's what we're working with, But if that tech becomes available in the next 5 years, that PC is worth $1,000 now or $1,200 now. I don't know that anybody is like, oh, give me the $700 Xbox instead of a PC that where I could have max settings, everything, and, you know, upgrade it as I go on. No, I'd rather get stuck with the clunky box that I can't play Spider-Man on.
But
that's what I want.
Hang on.
I hate God of War. I would never want to play that. I'd rather spend $700 on that box that doesn't let me play that instead of getting a PC for only $400, $500 more. And then I can actually play like games that are critically acclaimed and that everybody wants to play. No,
even
give
right
me the $700
now,
box that doesn't have God of War.
Even right now, that's true. Like, even right now, if you buy a PlayStation 5, it's cheaper. If you try to build a PC that's equal in power, you're not doing it for $500. You're not. You try to build a PC comparable to the Series X, you're not building a PC for $500. That already is true.
But
you said $700 4K 60, and I'm like, people would pay that. Are you kidding me? They would.
But that's why going high performance doesn't matter. Like, you're talking about a market for affordability, and you're saying, let's go further into the PC market. The further you go into the PC market, the less compelling Xbox becomes, because somebody could just go buy a PC.
But you're always dealing with the price point convenience factor. Customers are attracted to that. If you have people standing in Best Buy and they're looking at the thing, they're on Amazon, wherever they're shopping, and you're looking at something that's, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 for a gaming rig. If you want an actual gaming rig capable of some of the stuff that we're talking about, these guys that want to bargain bin and go to eBay, they don't know what they're talking about. The average consumer is going to look at a pre-built gaming PC. And if you want a pre-built gaming PC that's able to do some of those levels of performance, it's going to be $1,500 to $2,000. And if I'm standing in Best Buy looking at a PlayStation 5 Pro or this Xbox that you imagined in the $600 to $700 range, the console wins every time with the average consumer because it's lower cost and it's convenient. That's an easy sell to them.
Yeah, but it's not going to be lower cost than the PlayStation. Like, in your hypothetical, there's not a PlayStation right next to it that costs $100, $200 cheaper because they're not trying to do a high-performance model that competes with PC.
I was simply engaging with your original statement. Like, I'm saying there's a market for a high-end console that would run like what you said. I was like, $700, 4K60. I was like, oh my gosh, people would 100% pay that. That's what I was engaging with. I was like, there's a market. There are people that will pay for the fastest, the best, and the strongest. So in my mind, that's a route that you could take and potentially win customers. I don't think the route you want to take at like a $300, we have indie exclusives. I'll give you points for creativity to be like, we're going to cut into a market that's largely getting ignored. We're going to cut in with indies. Great. Like, that's a creative strategy. I don't think there's enough people that would be compelled by that. Like, oh, I got to go spend $300 in order to play Hades or these other exclusives. So while I think it's creative, I think it's far more compelling to leverage your IP, leverage performance, because that's what has worked. Nintendo leverages their IP. PlayStation leverages their IP and performance. I think Xbox has got to choose one, and it feels like they're choosing neither. They're going the route of publishing. So, I mean, this has been fun to think through, like, who's going to do what, between Kirk and I, who's going to do what, which approach we would take. Your route's creative. I had no anticipation of you being like, yeah, indies in a handheld. I was like, okay, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know, I was expecting a return of what I was thinking, like, leverage your content. You got big property. Where did Lono get a 1,500, 2,000 PS5 comparable? I didn't say that. You guys are so bad at listening when I bring up this subject. I said right now, if you want to buy a comparable PC to a PS5, you can't get it for $500. If you want a comparable Xbox Series X, you can't get it for $500. When I said 1,500 to 2,000, I said, with what Kirk was spouting, when he's talking 4K, you're talking ray tracing, you're talking high-level performance machines, if you want to build a PC that's going to hit those levels of performance, you're going to buy a pre-built machine for 1,500 to 2,000. Every time I talk about this, you PC guys get your panties all twisted around yourself, and you're like, no, 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 I could go to eBay. No, no, no. I was not saying that you need to spend 1,500 to 2,000 to be comparable to a PS5. Yes, creatively impotent people will take that clip out of context and misrepresent me, but that is not what I was saying. That is not what I was saying at all.
But again, Lono, like, it, in your hypothetical, you can't discount the fact that, like, there will be a PlayStation alternative that is not aiming for that high performance, that is more affordable. So people will just go with the PlayStation alternative. Like, let's say it's still $500, the PS6. If the next-gen Xbox is $700 and it's got all the bells and whistles, and the PlayStation is right next to it, and you've got your choice between the PC that's high-end, high-end, and high cost, you've got this middle ground where Xbox is high-end and it's more affordable, and you've got this low-end performance, I guess, PS6 that's $500, people are going to buy the PS6 for $500 every single time if they're looking for affordability. Or I feel like they would go to the PC. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know how many people you get that are like, oh, I want a more affordable version of high performance, that don't just go with the PlayStation. Like, where is that market of people that want that Xbox? But if you're talking about only,
right,
one more thing, if you're talking about only the people that will buy a PlayStation and an Xbox, that's the market share that Xbox has right now. hyperbolically, nobody just has an Xbox. I know people just have an Xbox, but what I'm saying is it's not enough people. So my plan accounts for the fact of, like, we go more and more and more affordable, create a space of games of, like, we create justification of why would you also own this Xbox? Like, yes, you may have a Switch. Yes, you may have a PlayStation. Why would you also go out and buy this Xbox? Well, it's affordable. There's games you can play on it that you can't play anywhere else. And, you know, our branding is good now. I mean, I don't know. Our messaging doesn't suck.
Well, that's why my plan was contingent upon leveraging the IP. I don't think they could just leverage performance. I think you're correct in that. Like, if they just try to come to the market with, like, a stronger box, yeah, and they're putting their games everywhere, it's like, what in the world is the point of this thing? That's why my plan was contingent upon you create a synergy between the hardware and the developers, and then you leverage those IPs and you say, latest Doom is here, latest this is here. That's how I crafted my plan. So that's why when you're like, oh, people wouldn't buy a box for Hellblade at 4K 60, I was like, oh my, yes they would. If that was the only place you could play Hellblade and it was at that performance and they had other titles like the ones I was saying, like Doom, Fallout, oh my word, that's a compelling offer. I think people would. I don't think it would be enough for Xbox to justify it. That's the problem. They would not move enough market share to justify the investment in a box of that caliber, in hardware of that caliber. My plan won't happen because I don't think Xbox sees the ROI. They see the ROI in Minecraft and Call of Duty, and they're like, well, yeah, just do that with everything we own. It's more money.
But the point is that I'm trying to save Xbox hardware. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with third party and the obvious, you know, revenue draw that presents, that Satya Nadella is going to say, ain't no way that stuff isn't going everywhere. So it's like, what is the market share that we can corner off that still justifies and brings awareness and interest around the Xbox hardware? And so I think the problem with your plan is, like, it doesn't necessarily account for the realities of the fact that third party is inherently more beneficial for, like, those type of titles that you're talking about. Like, there's just so much money that you're leaving on the table there if you don't go third party and if you don't put those on other platforms. And so it's like, if we do get into indie and we invest the money that it would take to take that off of other platforms, sure, that's a lot of money, but it's a drop in the bucket, I think, compared to the money that we're gaining from going third party. So we're kind of betting with house money at that point. Like, the percentage of our revenue that we're going to be exhausting on playing the betting game of hedging our bets on indie and saying, oh, this is going to be the only place to play these type of games, and convincing those devs, you know, through sheer monetary power, hey, don't put your game anywhere else, let's sign a contract here. That money is a drop in the bucket compared to the money that we're making by not trying to tout these AAA, you know, high budget Call of Duty and et cetera exclusives on our platform. So we're playing with house money, we're betting with house money, and we stand to gain brand recreation, culture recreation, and people that actually will stand that brand. I mean, the Xbox fanboys are out in full force, right? Like, you're telling me if we send a memo, a pamphlet out to Colt Eastwood and, you know, all the boys, all the guys. I won't name drop them here, but all the boys, rally up the boys. Here's your pundit packet. We are now fully about indies like Hollow Knight, Silk Song, and Hades 2. And you don't think everybody would rally up and be like, this is Xbox. This is the new Xbox. This is where I play.
I mean,
people would stand that. People would stand that and get behind that. I mean, you could literally genuinely create a brand and a culture around these type of games that people love, people cherish. We've had a renaissance, a burgeoning sort of climate for these games to thrive in the last 5 years. And we've seen, you know, games like Untitled Goose Game and Femba and all these games, Hades, get so many awards and get so much popularity that they would not have gotten back in like the 2010s, I don't think.
I mean,
and
it'd be easier than getting them all to defend 30 FPS. I mean, that would be easier than getting them to defend the things that
that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make things easier.
Right, you're trying
to
help them out
a little bit easier.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong in that it would be a whole lot cheaper to throw money at these indies because they would be a little bit. It would be cheaper than what I'm saying, right? I'm plotting a course that's expensive as heck.
Nvidia, basically.
Yeah, no, well, not buy Nvidia, but like you're charting a course that certainly is less money because we're even hearing right now from indies, they're getting smaller offers from the platforms because the market is getting pretty full of not just indies. There's bigger titles coming. So indies are seeing as less valuable to the platforms. They're like, we're not going to offer you nearly as much because number one, I think Xbox is changing strategy. Devolver Digital told us this last year. They're like, the offers aren't as big as they used to be. So that's another, I think, potential flaw in your argument is like they wouldn't even want to pay them that much money. So the indies might say, forget you. It's better for us to land on the Nintendo Switch 2 and Steam and, you know, and PlayStation. Who knows? So I think that part of your plan is correct. Lower spend to invest in indie exclusivity than restricting a game like Elder Scrolls or Doom. Certainly that is correct. That's a lower spend.
Bloat is just like, don't make my games bad, please.
That's all I care about. I'm like, just don't make them bad.
Hey, buddy, you know, we're going to let PlayStation have them. We're gonna make sure you get your crisp 60 FPS Hellblade on PlayStation, and we're going to sell.
I feel like I would get a better Doom.
Copies.
Don't you feel like you'd get a better Doom if they created hardware synergy and they were only creating Doom for like one platform instead of what I don't know. I just, that's why I'm in favor of shrinking it down and trying it again, because I feel like we'd get better games, but I know what I'm asking
for.
We
know.
It's not going to happen.
Come on.
I know. This was just fun. It's like, I know I'm not going to get what I want.
Yeah.
I know.
And for people in chat being like, oh, like Kirkland just likes to hear himself talk. It's a bit. It's debate mode. Come on, guys. I'm not going to shout at Lono on a normal show. At least that's not my intention. Like, we're hashing it out. Like, it's entertaining. Hopefully it gets clipped. Like,
It got clipped.
That's the
no
point,
doubt
guys.
In my
like,
mind.
I'm not mad or anything. Like, we're just having fun here. Jesus Christ. People are like, somebody in chat was like, hashtag my couch matters.
It's just unbelievable.
We're just having fun. Jesus Christ.
Listen, if I don't have to raise my voice to break it on Kirk, we haven't done an episode. Like, I have to do that sometimes. Like, the homie just gets going, and I'm like, bro, like, let me say something. Like, you
Kirk
know?
He's just mad that we doubled his 45-minute rule, so he's in agony. He's in excruciating pain.
We do need to get out of here, though. We do need to head to the writer's room. I do need to go through, though, and I need to do this before I say it. The sometimes it doesn't properly tag Kirk. So he is always clickable in the description. What's new video games? He's got a great guide video for Ronin. He's got reviews and things that
Ronin,
he's working.
Baby.
Yeah, he's that guide video did very well for him. Because nobody's telling anybody how to do any of that stuff. So.
Yeah, like nobody's playing the game, I guess, except there's a ton of people out there that want to play it or are playing it. And
it sold better in Japan, apparently, than Dragon's Dogma. Did you hear that? That's crazy.
Yeah. People really like it in Japan. It's really culturally significant for them. Like it goes, remember like Assassin's Creed 3 and like everybody was like excited about that game because it had like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Lafayette and whoever else in it, and it's like, oh, the story was like kind of underwhelming actually, but like people were hyped about that game going into it because like it's culturally significant, like that's a cool period of history for an Assassin's Creed game to take place. And I think you're seeing like the same thing, like these characters and like this part of history is like dope, And people in Japan know that because it's significant to them. So, like, they're showing up for it. Whereas, like, people in, like, America and the West, you know, unless mm-hmm. you're like me and Lono and you've dived into it and you've seen, like, oh, like, Ryoma Sakamoto is, like, a cool dude. Like, I get on with this guy. Like, let's go fight some bandits or whatever. Like, it's fun. It's cool. And it's a culturally significant period of history that it's really awesome to experience in video game form. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. Check out my guide, because I guess nobody's out here. Like, I was expecting, like, the Extra Life, you know, and all those other stuff for, like, Lords of the Fallen and Elden Ring, and you know, you see all that stuff on the internet of like all these guys for Grand Blue and all this stuff. I don't see anything for Rise of the Ronin, so I had to make a guide, and yeah, it's resonated with people because there's not a lot of stuff out there for some reason. It's really crazy.
Yeah, and it, you know, he crossed over 10,000 views on it. So you can go subscribe over there as well, help him out. He's on the show on Mondays, where this was just a fun idea we came up with. We're like, well, there's not much to talk about, so let's, you know, consider what would we do if we were in charge? Because, as I said in the show open, people don't seem too thrilled with what's going on, whether it's, you know, Sea of Thieves or Hellblade 2 or anything else that's happened, and it's just heating up. I guess there's probably more coming, like Sarah Bond. Is recorded something. James Baker, thank you for the $20 super chat tip. Thank you for everybody who did gifteds or super chats during the show. Rich Rod did a 2-spot, said I disagree, existing IP isn't a power move, and he also did a 5-spot saying Gears and Halo, no matter how much you improve, will only bring back Xbox current fanatics. Xbox needs a complete reboot. I do think games like Doom and Elder Scrolls, I think they stand a lot taller in the gaming industry than that. But I don't disagree that some titles probably would, it'd be harder to bring new people. So, but we do need to go to Writer's Room, and this is your opportunity to see how the sausage is made. I got scolded for saying how the bread is made. You can see how the sausage is made.
Where it happened.
It's behind the scenes, you know? We plot out a monologue, we plan out the day, the thumbnail, the POV. If you got a gifted member today, tons of gifted members went out, 76, and then I gifted 15. Because I give 5 every 25. You can upgrade to the $6 tier. It gets you into more content and the behind-the-scenes content. At a gifted membership, you guys can get into our Discord as well as some of the extra content, but not all of it. So I'm going to start up the Writer's Room right now. Thanks so much for being a Reforged member or higher. It's going to be the Writer's Room on April the 8th after a fiery debate with Kirk. We're both vying for CEO of Xbox, and I don't think either of us got the job, sadly, but it was a fun discussion. None other than, you know, it's always a good discussion if I have to yell at Kirk and he has to yell at me. And so we got a couple of those in, and hopefully you guys enjoy
that.
You
just see a headline from gamesindustry.biz that says Creature appointed as new CEO of Xbox.
Yeah. I'm going to end that stream, by the way, and redirect folks over to the Writer's Room. And I was just trying to break in. You would.